Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and passion, the quest to be noticed. With us in our virtual studio is Anna Dutko, who we'll get to the content real soon. Quickly, tonight is Wednesday, November the 22nd in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our show tonight is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. For those who don't know, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. It's important to support this organization by membership or donation, in as much as they really come together and work together for the ADHD community. So we have a quick tip that we're going to run, and then we'll get into the content of the show. So here we go.
Children with ADHD can be prone to overstimulation. The holidays can be especially stressful. Know your child's limits and select holiday activities wisely. Make sure there is a quiet space where your child can go and regroup. Choose calmness over chaos. For more tips on making the holidays work for you, visit the CHAAD website at www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for your continued support. Okay, tonight we got a great show, ADHD and Passion, the quest to be noticed. As you listen to this interview, really want to highlight, when we start talking about ADHD and passion, we all know when it all clicks and it all works, it's euphoric and very helpful for those with ADHD, and they're very successful. But as a coach, I often find that sometimes it's the function of what's going on, not necessarily the topic and what you might think is really the passion. Anna tonight is going to talk with us a little bit about her experience and the notion of thinking that passion might be fitness, where it actually might be noticed, and the difference between the two. For scheduling purposes, this show is pre-recorded, so we're going to roll the tape. We hope you enjoy the show, and we hope you get some insight. So here you go. Anna Dutko is a motivator and a seeker of adventure. She's the founder of Round 2 Fit for Anna and a personal trainer. She left the corporate world to pursue her passion in helping people exercise or experience exercise as something exciting and empowering instead of something they just have to do. It's spectacular, her philosophy on this, because she does build into the notion of really having fun and being spontaneous and making it something that you want to do and not something that you have to do. Her journey has inspired her to do this in such a way that's contagious to other people. She believes it really kind of starts with her demonstrating this, sharing it with other people, and having them kind of jump on board. It is definitely something that she's been doing her entire life, and it's something that I know that she gets really excited about. Tonight, we're actually going to be talking to her about her passions a little bit. So I want to kind of hold back on a little bit of her bio because a lot of this stuff is going to unfold. You can learn more about Anna at her website at round2.fit. With that, Anna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. It's nice to be on your show, and I'm excited to kind of talk about this topic, even though it's a new one for me, I got to admit.
So let me begin with, to you, what is passion? Like, when people talk about passion, what does that mean to you, or what did it mean to you?
Oh, passion to me almost is a frustrating thing because of how passion has unfolded in my life. But to me, passion has always been, you know, what excites you? What makes you get up out of bed in the morning? What's that thing, you know, then it was always related to unwork. Like, what's that thing that you always want to do that you don't feel you have enough time doing? And, you know, what makes you drop everything? And more, it just made me, it started to put this pressure. And I know I'm not the only one that feels like this sometimes. All right, well, if I pick a passion, you know, what happens if I find something else that I like? And then all of a sudden you're like, do you switch passion? Am I not passionate about the other thing? And then you just, it puts this label and this slap on passion that doesn't need it to be there. And what I've learned through passion is what excites you in that moment and what do you feel that you want to do that makes you joyful in that moment. And I've kind of switched my outlook on passion to be able to switch it up and learn that you don't have to slap a label on your passion. You just have to be passionate about life and be willing to experiment new things so that you're not really capped out at something.
I think you brought up a really interesting point. I loved how you were talking about passion and the word pressure kind of came in, like I have to have a passion or this stuff. And all of a sudden it got really heavy for me. And that goes back to where passion was frustrating to you. So I really like the way that you kind of articulated it. But there also seems to be some relaxation. It's the excitement about being in the moment and really kind of going wherever that goes. And it's sounding like your notion of passion is transforming a little bit. Is that
right? And
accurate?
This is also my experience. I don't know if everybody, you know, some people have a passion and they're passionate about it and they're going to be passionate about it for the rest of their lives. So there's a point of this is I'm also realizing of my passion is actually being open-minded about other passions. So I'm passionate about spontaneity and having fun and trying new things, having the open mind to change up my passion, right? I mean, my passion at my core is health, is fitness, and because that's been a part of my life for 37 years and that hasn't changed. But what has changed is my work around fitness, and that's why my passion started to be more of my work, and it started me on a journey to find other things that I might be passionate about so that I could have fun outside of my quote-unquote work and fitness world.
So over the years, fitness is something out there, but are there other things at different times that you thought were your passions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had them all, right? I've had every job in the world that I thought I've been passionate about. And I always say like situational, you know, if you talk about passion, like what's your surroundings, you know, I like to be by the water. So am I passionate about the water? Yeah, I think so. You know, I like to do arts and crafts with my daughter and color, you know, am I passionate about coloring and making crafts and being imaginative in that moment? Yeah, I'm kind of passionate about that. So it's really just sparked all kinds of different passions of mine.
Passions of yours kind of go back over the years. It sounds like there's some being in the moment. There's some creativity and stuff that's kind of peppered through that. Is that consistent?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've always had a passion for music and I've played a couple instruments, but those have faded. You know, there's just things that start to fade and, you know, whether that's the ADHD or that's, you know, just part of life and growing up, you know, there's just certain times in our lives where things just change, and being open-minded about switching our passion can help us explore a little bit more about life and who we are too.
Excellent. Tell you what, I want to go to break. When I come back, I want to kind of go back to an email that you had sent to me with regard to this, but that really kind of inspired a lot. So the first segment here, we really want to set the stage a little bit. There might be a little bit of a shift coming on. So everybody, we're going to go to a break. I encourage you to go learn more about Anna at her website at round2.fit. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we're here with Anna Dutko, talking about passions. Before the break, I was asking her really what she thought passion was, and I loved how she talked about how it's frustrating, and that notion of pressure kind of came in, and really kind of letting that go and opening things up a little bit. And she started just talking about this different times in her life, like she thought she was passing by a job or a situation, stuff like that. All that teed up, and one day you were just being in the moment and watching some videos, and you actually watched one of our videos on Attention Talk Video and kind of reached out and said that spoke to you. Can you talk to us about that video and that experience?
Sure. I was watching the video where you said you found that a lot of people that you coach, if you could recap exactly what you said, do you remember it?
A lot of people that I coach, they're actually motivated, inspired often by things that are not as obvious, like being noticed or insatiable appetite for learning or creativity, that are kind of underneath what they think their passion might be.
Being noticed, yes. And I was like, well, you know what? That I really learned that, you know, very recently over the past couple of months, you know, in the business world. You read, and I know I had Jeff as a coach, so as a side note, he was awesome and really helped me build the foundation for moving forward in my business. But with business, when you read a lot of business books, you know, they always come back to, you know, knowing your why and why do you want to do this, and why do you want to pursue a passion, or why do you want to pursue a dream or a business? And that was, again, really frustrating to me. Like, why do I have to pick one, right? Like,
yep.
I'm not really sure. You know, there's a couple of different reasons of why I wanted to start a business, but you do need something that's driving you forward, and you do need something that's going to help you get through those days when you don't feel like doing something. And that's where it kind of all hit me, is finding, I realized on the days that I didn't feel like doing something, or I didn't feel motivated to do something, what would really help me get out of that mood. And it came back to the being noticed. And I realized if I used the motivation of attention to move me forward in my business, I saw a dramatic shift in my business and a dramatic shift in my motivation. So let me kind of circle back to what that means. For me, I realized that some of my why and some of what motivated me was attention. I am motivated and inspired by attention. And that was really hard for me to swallow, right? Because that sounds very egotistical, and it also sounds like needy and, oh my gosh, I need attention. But if I look at that point from a positive standpoint, and I look at it of what it's helping me do in my business and how it's helping people stay inspired as well, it's, you know, then it doesn't really serve that selfish purpose. It's just helping me move forward in that moment to stay motivated. It would be the same thing as if someone said, you know, if I have to get up, I have to get out of bed, and I have to do this work because I have to put food on the table, and that's my main goal, you know, for my family, or, you know, I want to save up for a boat, and that's what I'm motivated by, and that's what I'm going to keep thinking of. Well, for me, when I started noticing that I'm driven by attention, it really just, I started using that and said, even if I was not feeling great that day, well, you know what, if I put a motivational video out on Facebook, probably going to get a little bit of attention, and maybe I'll get that boost that I need that makes me then do maybe some side work that needed to be done because I'm getting that boost. And to me, you know, people can take that however they want, but at the end of the day, that's really what ended up helping me move forward. And the quicker that I grasped that concept, and the quicker that I accepted that it wasn't a bad thing, made me just start to really feel better about everything in general when I really think back to it.
Wow. Okay, so let's just pause here for a second. The attention thing. I find a lot of people with ADHD like to be noticed, and it's not the center of attention, everybody. Sometimes somebody can just like notice you, like lift an eyebrow, like, wow, that they said something smart, or they did something kind, or really an idea where somebody notices you. And mm-hmm. I found it very interesting. It's a root of a lot of people. I find their passion is actually being noticed, and that's kind of what drives it. It's not as easily recognizable because it's not out there. And I love your awareness around this, because it really, that shift can be really, really powerful. A few things that are interesting to me, as you described the what you were doing and like doing a video, a motivational video, and put out there. We did an interview with Clifford Sussman on ADHD and screen addiction, and it was a 3-part series. And one of those, we talked about the game Candy Crush, and the addictive nature to it. But that social media thing where somebody shares and somebody likes, is there's a biological thing that actually feels good, and that's related to dopamine, which is an issue with ADHD, and that kind of propels forward. And there's some interesting things behind some of that stuff that you would do that to kind of get that to be noticed or shared and kind of whatever. And what I like is that you're embracing it and using it to the advantage and realizing that your desire for that or drawing to that, it's actually a very positive thing in what you do. In terms of getting people excited about exercising and getting out there and being noticed yourself for what you're doing and inspiring and motivating, it seems to me your acknowledgement of this and acceptance of it is actually really powerful because it's propelling you. Want to comment on that?
Right. It's not something that I'm hanging on for my self-worth or my self-confidence. And I think that's where the line is drawn and where you need to understand, you know, where somebody would want to understand whether it's a healthy way or not. And for me, it's not to just make sure that I feel good about myself and to not, you know, reinforce like, hey, you look pretty. You know, like that's not what it was for. It was for, okay, like people are noticing that it's helping, or people are noticing that they like my creativity, you know, and saying, okay, you know, I'm on to something here. Because there's always a side to us when we're doing something new and maybe outside of the box that it's scary, right? You're putting out this stuff and it's fearful and you have no idea what people think about it. And you can be as confident as you want in it, but those thoughts will still run through your head every once in a while. And it's really just that reinforcement of I'm on the right path. All right, cool. All right, I get it now. And, you know, then I can go show up and train someone a little bit better because I'm thinking, you know, all right, things are going all right. And it's really freeing to use that as, and not even a gauge, because I don't want to ever use that as a gauge, because there are going to come times where there's going to be negative feedback, right? You know, I'm going to put up something and someone's going to say you're an idiot, because that's just the world we live in. But I know that I stand strong on my own 2 feet to not let that, maybe it might, you know, punch me back a minute, but that I can still then put out something. I'll say, oh, okay, well, I'll put out something different that might, you know, make me go forward instead of quit. And that's the goal, right? We don't want to quit and we want to keep moving forward and we want to keep going on our path. And all it's done is really just continued to open up door after door after door for me. And I see that as a very positive thing.
Well, I want to go to a break here for a second, but when we come back, I'm actually going to talk about is a lot of what I do is actually coaching people. And I love ahas. I like insights. And when somebody has an insight, I think it's probably as euphoric for me as it is for the other person, because I'm noticed in that situation. And it's funny, because when I go to work, I actually don't go to work. I actually go to fun. One of my issues really is kind of I work too much sometimes because of some of that stuff. So it's very, very inspiring. So I want to talk about that a little bit more and how it kind of ties in what you're doing when we get back from break. Everybody, I encourage you to go learn more about Anna at her website at Round, R-O-U-N-D, the number 2.FIT. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Anna having a great conversation about the quest to be noticed. Before the break, we were both kind of talking about both of our kind of passion to be kind of noticed. And I really want to iterate, it's not necessarily the center of attention. It's actually do good things. And for people to look over and say, hey, that was kind of cool. Mine's kind of in the aha world. Anna's very much a motivational and inspirational and playful and creative for the people that she works with. Now, Anna, one of the things that's been interesting to me as you've been talking about this is you're noticing if you've got a task to do that's just kind of like where you're just kind of throwing out there and there's no human interaction, that it's more difficult. And if there is a chance that you'd be noticed, you're doing it. Are you starting to kind of think in terms of that stuff with your business as a means to kind of keep the fuel going, the fire?
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point is in terms of just anyone out there thinking about what job, like say you're in the middle of a job switch or you're trying to figure out exactly what path you want to go down for career-wise. You know, for me, once I really realized that what motivates me, okay, a lot of the time, 90% of the time, it's attention that really motivates me. Well, then sitting behind a desk or, you know, having no human interaction is really probably not going to be a good job suit for me. And for an example, in my work and in my practice, I do a lot of my revenue comes in from writing workout programs on a white label company, meaning that I write workout programs and I send it to them and they slap their name on it. Well, I was realizing over and over and over, even though I was making such great money on it, it was on the back burner, and I would just put it off and put it off and put it off. And I'm like, I don't understand why I put this off. You know, it's where I make money, and I'm good at it, and I can sit down and do it. Why am I doing everything but this? I would do a video, and I would do all this stuff that was not making me money. And then I was like, I think it was the day I listened to your podcast, and I had this aha moment. I'm like, I don't get any attention from that. That's why I'm not doing it. It's zero attention, right? I don't even get barely a thank you once I turn it in. It's just the kind of I turn it in and that's it and I get paid. Well, of course I'm not going to be motivated to do it then because I'm not getting any attention from it. And the only attention that's getting is maybe my bank account and that didn't come anything to me, right? So just realizing that and acknowledging that has now helped me understand why. Because I tended to beat myself up. I could not figure out why I didn't want to do this. And now I have a better source of what's going to motivate me as far as my business, but also I'm able to do those projects that aren't so attention-grabbing for me, like the writing the workout program, and I can sit down and just pump them out because now I just have that reason. Sometimes we just need a reason and we just want to understand. Now I understand. And so now I just set deadlines for those projects, get them done. You know, I don't think about it anymore. I just do it. And then I just give myself permission. As soon as you're done with this non-attention task, you may do a task that gives you attention.
Reward yourself with an attention task. I like that. What's really cool about my experience in this, Anna, is that when we were having a conversation that, you know, exercise has always been a big deal for you. It was kind of your, like you did it just, you could not do it. You know what I'm saying? And you label as your passion. Right. So you got into the business and you're like, okay, now I've made my passion my business, but now it's your business and it's heavier and it's more difficult. And what I think is interesting is this distinction is that the movement is always a big deal there for yourself. But in terms of this, you can certainly make it part of your day. But if you add that attention piece, it really, really can take that business situation and make it really more. So in one sense, my passion is moving and exercise personally. But my passion on the business side is taking that to be noticed on that side to kind of propel that side. Now, again, that's been my experience watching you in this process. Anything to that, or am I missing something?
Right. And that's why, you know, I'm a big advocate for keeping an open mind and not be stuck on necessarily
yep.
one goal, because you might miss something. And for me, I started out as a personal trainer, and I was personal training one-on-one. And what I've realized is, and not that I don't enjoy helping people with their fitness goals, because I do, but I really wasn't enjoying personal training as much as I thought I would. And when I started to get more into the online world and doing and kind of branching out into online training and also just kind of a women empowerment private Facebook groups and stuff like that, I realized that that's where I really started to thrive, and I really started to open up and even tap into creativity I didn't even know I had, and also just feel more confident and alive than when on those one-on-one personal training sessions. But I was still like stuck on that, right? And I was still stuck on that with my business. But that transformation of realizing, I think you said it so well, of when you put it both together, then you really got something special. So I'm either personal training someone one-on-one and I'm doing okay, but if you add that other piece and that other component to it, then you get that wow, right? And
yes.
And you get what you just described. You get that you don't go to work, you go to play, or you go to fun, I think you said. And that I was still feeling like I was going to work when I was personal training. I was just still, there was still that, oh, like something was missing.
Yep.
And when I'm doing a video or if I'm doing a creative marketing piece or anything like that, nothing is stopping in my way till I'm done with that. And, or, you know, nothing else matters. I'm in it and I'm happy. And it's that wow. And it brings me
yep.
to life. And I talk about that with my blog or something like that. If you can find something that really brings you back to life and puts like breathes fire into your soul, I like to say, then you need to stick with that, and you need to kind of explore that a little bit more. And that's what it's really been for me. And I'll say that I'm motivated by attention all day long to realize that.
So it's interesting to me over the years in interviewing the experts, it's clear to me that ADD is not a deficit of attention. It's a self-regulation issue. And I simplify it to be a dopamine addiction. If you get dopamine, you pay attention to it. If you don't get dopamine, you don't pay attention to it. And those simple contexts, Dr. Barclay's ADHD is a self-regulation issue, and the dopamine thing really kind of go hand in hand. And the reason I'm saying that is that if you can find that thing that's really, really positive where you get the dopamine, your issue's not paying attention. It's actually unengaging your attention. And if you're not getting, you have a hard time engaging your attention. In the moment where it's just boring paperwork, if there's no exercise and there's no attention, it's exceptionally agonizing for you to engage yourself. But when fitness is there and you're being noticed by some other people, like, and you're excited about it, it is really the pinnacle that where your hyperfocus or your inability to unengage your attention sometimes can be negative, because you have to stop and go something else. I don't want to go to the extreme, but the bottom
right.
line is that's the combination that we're looking for those with ADD, because it is intoxicating for many others. And, you know, I have seen some of the things that you're doing and some of the posts that you put on YouTube and some of the stuff you're doing. And I see the bazillion people that are just making comments, and you really, really, really inspire some other people. And that's a great way, a great illustration of how you're twisting that stuff around and really making it work for you. So kudos on it. And I'd love you coming on the show, sharing this experience. Before we close things out, any last comments or anything you'd like to add?
No, just to tell everybody out there, don't be afraid to figure out what it is that motivates you and try to think outside of the box. And like I said, when I was, you know, thinking about knowing what my why was or what kept me motivated, you know, they don't really list the tension, like you said, in those books. And it's always, you know, either by a money or a goal or family or whatnot. But just to think outside of the box. And also what you kind of touched on, too, is that it might be a concoction of a couple of things. So play with that concoction. And that's really
yep.
what I've done is, you know, over the years, it hasn't been the perfect concoction until recently. It's been just kind of a mashup of a couple of different things. And
yep.
with anything in life, you just kind of keep playing with it until you find that perfect potion to really catapult and motivate you forward.
what I like about what you've done is you've taken the pressure off, really try to lash, adjust expectations and really listen to who you are, what's going on, and been very accepting of it. And I think that's a winning formula. So with all that, Anna, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. It was fun to talk about that.
Everybody, go check out Anna's website at round, R-O-U-N-D, the number 2.FIT. We hope you've enjoyed our show in this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us next week. Take care.